holidays are fast approaching, aren't they? Got Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday, and Christmas is right around the corner, and that means writing cards and writing letters and writing postcards and stuff like that. Speaking of postcards, there was once this older gentleman who came into the post office with a postcard in his hand, and he walked up to the counter and politely asked the postal worker, "Sir, could you please address this postcard for me? My hands are a bit shaky." Well, even though the worker was busy, the employee gladly addressed the card for him. When he was done filling it all out, the customer then asked the postal employee if he could write a short message on the card for him, too. Well, the employee looked the old guy up and down, kind of like Kelly does sometimes when you say weird things, you know. It runs in the postal line. Anyway, and then he looked down at the others, you know, waiting in line, but, you know, he agreed to write the note just the same. And when he was done with that task, the customer then asked if he would sign the card for him too. Well, the postal worker figured that he had written just about the whole thing anyway, so he might as well sign it. And when he was finished, the postal employee politely asked, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" The old fellow thought about it for a minute and then said, "Yeah, at the end, could you put a little P.S. there? Say, P.S., please excuse the sloppy handwriting." Yeah, it seems like people just aren't as thankful as they could be for stuff. People are not naturally grateful. And I thought really a whole lot about that this week. Why is it that some people have trouble giving thanks? Well, I think that one of the reasons that some people struggle with giving thanks is because of the pace that we have in life today. I mean, we're all in such of a big hurry to do everything except give thanks. We're so accustomed to being on the run, and we never seem to stop long enough to recognize just how blessed we are. Another reason seems to be why some people have trouble giving thanks is that they're too consumer-oriented. What I mean by that is that they approach life like it's one big shopping trip, in which the name of the game is to get more and more stuff before your time is up. Think about it. The reason that some people are so busy and given to consumerism is that they take everything for granted. They forget to give thanks to God for all that He has given them. So what does someone like this look like, really? Well, those that tend to forget to give thanks are people who are never satisfied no matter what happens. It's just never good enough for them. They're always waiting on something bigger and something better. They don't know how to be content. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul rejoices in the Lord because of the concern that the Christians at Philippi have for him. And so connected to that, Paul writes in Philippians 12 and 13, saying that I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. And right about now, everyone's like, "Really? What's that secret, Paul? Tell us." So he tells us in the next verse, he says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." That verse is so taken out of context often, isn't it? You see what he's saying, though? He's saying, Paul understands. He says, that if he received blessings, they are from God. He also understood that if those times when things seem aren't so good, well, that God can do wonderful things. He understands that he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. That's how he's content, because of Jesus. God can do wonderful things. Just think about Paul's life. I mean, he never complained about his circumstances. You got a list really long in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30 about all these things that he went through, being shipwrecked in prison, you know, being stoned to death. Did he ever complain about it? "Oh, I really had a bad day. God, you must hate me." He never did that, okay? He understood that through those tough times, God can do wonderful things, Romans 8, 28. And since there are people who don't know or don't comprehend or don't understand the secret of being content, they can't give thanks because they think that there's nothing to be thankful for. And that's why people who can't give thanks are always so stressed out about things. You know, look at this time of the year, people running around like chickens with their head cut off. If that actually happens, I don't know. I don't have chickens. Anyway, you see, people who can't give thanks are people who believe that they've done it all by themselves, right? So, why give thanks to anyone? I did it myself, you know. And if they believe that they've all done it themselves, you know, in the past to get where they're at now, then they probably believe then it's up to them in the future to get it all done too. And so to them, they don't need other people. And they surely don't need God because he didn't do anything. I took care of it all, right? Because to them, they've done it all themselves. And so they'll do it again. But that really puts all the stress on them, doesn't it? And so the result is that they're all stressed out. They're all shaking around, panicky, getting no sleep, just frantic. Their health is falling apart. Jesus had to deal with a bunch of stressed out people in Matthew chapter 6 when he was preaching about how God meets our needs. And so he sums it all up by saying in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the church said, amen. All right. You see, people who can't give thanks are just never satisfied. They're always stressed out worrying about tomorrow. And because of that, they have no joy in their life. No joy. But if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then joy is possible. And how do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so, right? Solomon wrote in Proverbs 10:28 that the prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. And so seeking his kingdom and his righteousness allows us to be thankful. Hebrews 12:28 takes that point a step further, where the writer says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Now in this verse, the main verb here in the English phrase is let us be thankful. It's to be thankful, okay? And it carries with it a force of a command. He doesn't say, yeah, you can be thankful if you want. He says, let us be thankful. He says, you be thankful, okay? See, giving thanks is really not an option for the Christian. And that can be hard for some people to understand. But that shouldn't be hard for someone who was once really lost in sin and knows that to fully appreciate being saved. It shouldn't be hard to give thanks to God for all that he's done for us. You see, it's a natural expression of our faith to give thanks. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling us here to be thankful to God for the victory that he has already won for us in Jesus Christ. And the context of Hebrews 12, that thankfulness carries over into our worship, he says, into our service for him, into our life. It's all done acceptably and with reverence and with awe. And all that sounds really good when we look at it in our Bibles. You know, we could read that and that's great, you know, because it is great. It is good. But it can be hard still. It can be hard for some people to put into practice. It can be hard for some people to give thanks, especially when they're financially struggling or when things just aren't going their way or when health begins to fail. So, how can we be a people that give thanks? Well, the Bible gives us three keys that we want to talk about this morning that will help us to better give thanks in all circumstances. And the first key is to recognize that everything is a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. To recognize that everything is a gift from God. You see, in order for us to give thanks, we have to remember who gave us what we have in the first place. Think about it. We're very good at getting, you know. You know, we're very good at getting, but we quickly forget who gave us everything that we have. For example, have you ever gone out to eat with your kids or grandkids or really any kid for that matter, you know, and you get them the meal that they want, you pay for it, and when you sit down at the table and you reach out and take a French fry, what do we say? Hey, that's my fry. Those are my fries. You can't have my fries. Now, who made it possible for the kid to have the fries? Well, you did, right? You bought them. But those fries are now their fries somehow. It magically happened, okay? But we see the problem, don't we? All right? The problem is that many people have the tendency to forget that everything that we have isn't really ours. It's really God's. He just allows us to use it. The Bible is very clear in its teaching on this subject. For example, way back in preparation for the building of the first temple, David said this in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16. He said, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand and it all belongs to you. David knew where it all came from. You see, it all belongs to God because he created it to start with in Genesis 1. As a matter of fact, Acts 17, 28 tells us that in him we live and move and have our being. So every breath that we have is a gift from God, really. Now, we could look at all this and we could read all this. And I would like to think that we know all of this. But how do we remember that God is the source of everything? Well, we can start by thanking him. Take a look at Romans chapter 1. I know we know this fairly well, but Romans 1 and verse 21. Paul writes this about some wicked people. He says, for although they knew God, so you can know a lot about God. You can know all these verses, you see, that we're talking about. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow, you see that? One of the signs that we don't have a right relationship with God is that we don't thank him. We forget to thank him. Think about what we do every Lord's Day when we assemble together as the Church of Christ. The one thing that we know for sure, without a doubt, is that Christians have done... they've done this since the beginning of the church, and that's the share in the Lord's Supper. Okay. To do this in remembrance of him. And as the Lord's Supper is sometimes known, it's called the Eucharist. Okay. And that means gratitude or thanksgiving or give thanks. Okay. Now, just what is it that we're giving thanks for in the communion? We went through this just a few minutes ago. Just think about it, right? Well, you know, that Jesus came and died for our sins so that we could have forgiveness of sins for all the things that we've done or ever will do, you know, wrong against God. And with those sins forgiven, washed away, we can be in the presence of God and have eternal life. And so we're thankful in the partaking of the bread and the cup that Jesus came and gave us a purpose for the present and to give us a hope for the future. And so we can be thankful for all of that every time we share in the Lord's Supper. Of course, we can remember those things and more in our regular prayers to God. Because when it comes to remembering to give thanks to God for all that we have, Jesus told us in the model prayer back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, he taught his disciples in that prayer to give us today our daily bread. And when you think about that basic concept, that's recognizing the fact that all of our daily needs are met by God and only God. And so we can give thanks to him. So when we start thanking God for the things that he's blessed us with, we begin to make that connection that, hey, yeah, everything we have is from God. And so we pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray. And as we do that, we come to understand that fact more and more about just how dependent we are on God for everything and that we have everything because of God. Another thing that we can do to help us to remember to give thanks is to give back to God, like Ed was talking about this morning. And again, how do we do that? Well, right there, right? Now, the primary way is our weekly collection. In various parables, like the parable of the minas or the pounds, depending upon your translation, in Luke chapter 19, and in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, we're told that we're to be good stewards, we're to be good managers of what God has given us. Again, because everything that we have is what God has given us, you see. And so when we give back to God, that reminds us that God owns everything in the first place. We're just the managers of it. We're just the stewards of it. We need to manage that well. We're not the owners. God is. And so when we give back it and give thanks, it helps us to understand that everything that we have is from God. Okay, just one more thing to help us recognize that everything is a gift from God and give thanks to Him. And that is to set aside times to focus on God and to worship Him, just like we're doing right now. Now, why would that help? Well, the book answer is because the Bible tells me so, okay? But what we need to see here is that there's more than the Bible tells me so. Follow me for a second. See, God in His infinite wisdom knows how we work. He made us, okay? He wants us to worship Him in this setting because it helps us to put our life into proper perspective. You see, when people worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, then they exchange the truth of God for a lie, Romans 1:25. Simply put, things get all out of whack. Think about it. We can't give thanks because we don't have a proper understanding of who God is. And so we take the time to worship Him. And when we do worship the Lord our God and serve Him only, Luke 4:8, then we'll better recognize that everything is a gift from God and that He's God and we're not. And so we can give Him thanks. And along with recognizing that everything we have is a gift of God, we should also recall what God has done for us. Recall all that God has done for us. We sometimes sing like we did last Sunday, 742, Went Upon Life's Billows. And in that song, you know, it goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. And that's a really good thing to do. And I don't know if you've really done that much, but just think about that. What is it you're grateful for? I know this Wednesday, we traditionally sit around after a light meal, as it may be, and we talk about the things that we're thankful for. So get ready for that, okay? You probably know about the classic tale Robinson Crusoe. And when you first meet him, he's shipwrecked on a deserted island, and as he begins to check out the situation, figure things out, he makes a list of all of the negative things that he's going to face. And then he goes ahead, he makes a list of all the good things. And he looks at them both, and when he looks at them both, he finds out that the good things clearly outweigh the bad. And we need to do that, okay? You can start listing down here, this is bad, this is wrong, this is bad in my life, you know. And then come over here and start listing the good things. You can start with number one, you're alive, okay? You know, you can just go on down the list. You'll find that the good does outweigh the bad. You know, there's one thing that we notice when we read the Bible. And that is how many times thankful people recall all that God has done for them. Over in Psalm 103. David writes for us a psalm of praise that does just that. And we see this in the Psalms. You want a good perspective on a thankful life? Read a psalm a day, okay? You want a good prayer life? Read a psalm a day, okay? You want to understand who God is? Read a psalm a day. Start that, okay? You'll be done in, well, you'll be able to go through that a couple times a year, okay? Maybe a little bit more for Psalm 119. Okay. All right. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6, reads this way. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Look back there at verse 2. They were reminded not to forget all of His benefits. And what benefits are those? Well, David begins to list them off, right? You know, how about just the grace and mercy of God, you know? How about the forgiveness and the redemption that we see described for us in these next few verses? If we move down a little bit more to verses 10 through 12, we read that God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Think about all that. You know, every day, especially in 21st century America, we always hear about people who want what they deserve. They want what they're entitled to. They want to get what's coming to them. Well, in the case of God, what we all deserve is death because of our sins. Aren't you glad God doesn't give you what you deserve? You know, because of Jesus, we can be made one with God. We don't have to be separated from God because of our sins. Because of Jesus, we could be together forever with God. Think about it. You know, if we ever come to the point in our lives where we're not thankful, maybe we've just lost our concept of God's grace. You know, if that's true, then we really need to get a clue, you know, before we do come the time to meet Jesus, because we're missing a lot of stuff here. I think we could sum up someone in that situation with one word, and that's hopeless. Okay. They're hopeless. Now, if we think about what we had before we had Christ, we were hopeless, right? And if you forget about what Jesus has done, well, I guess you're still feeling hopeless. And if you do feel hopeless, then again, you're missing something, you know? Because before Jesus, you had no meaning. You had no purpose in your life. Instead, you had guilt, you had fear, you had bitterness, you had worries, you had regrets. You're supposed to have had those things, okay? And there was nothing that you could do without Christ to get rid of those things. You had no hope for the future. You were headed instead for hell instead of heaven. You could never be good enough to earn your salvation. But God came along in his wonderful love and said, I'm going to show you grace. Let's go ahead. I thought about summarizing this, but this text is just too good to skip. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read the first 10 verses to help us remember the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us get a handle on all of what God has done by his grace. Again, this is Ephesians 2, and we'll read just verses 1 through 10. Again, remember, he's writing to Christians, right? He says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. We all were. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I know there's a lot there, and we're not going to go through that entire passage, but what we need to see here is that God tells us here that before we met Jesus, we were dead. Okay. We followed after sinful stuff. We were reaping the wages of sin, death. But God saw us in our sin, and he gave us Jesus, and not because we were good enough or because of anything that we did, but because of God's great love for us. And so it's by God's grace that we are saved from our sins. all because he gave us Jesus. And so when we recall all that God has done for us and taking us out of sin and death and bringing us into light and life through his son Jesus, we can begin to recognize, if we haven't already recognized, that everything is a gift from God. We'll be able to give thanks to God when we recognize that. Along with those two key points that we've talked about already, our third and final point for this morning is to resolve to give thanks in every circumstance. To resolve to give thanks in every circumstance. You know, a lot of people, I think, are waiting for the ideal circumstance to come along before they're thankful. You know, I think I sometimes do that too, maybe. You know, wait for things to get better to be thankful. You know, if this or that happens, then I'll be thankful, you know. But seriously, think about it. You know, what are you waiting for to be thankful? You know, for your health to improve? I mean, if you're over 20, it's probably not going to get any better. Okay, sorry. You know, for your relationships to get better, and then you're going to be thankful, you know. For your bills to be paid until next bill. Anyway, for the time that you can sit back maybe and kind of relax in your rocking chair, your easy chair, and say, life is good, you know. Then finally you'll be thankful. When? Well, you know, that's not what God says for us to do. Earlier we read from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and there God's word tells us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And notice a particular, of course, verse 18. There God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I want us to see a word here that I think is important. And that's the word in. Notice it doesn't say for. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. And I think that there's a difference there. And I think the difference involves an understanding of the verse. You see, the Bible doesn't teach us that we should give thanks for everything. Follow me for a second. We don't have to give thanks for evil in the world. We don't have to give thanks for children being slaughtered, okay? We don't have to give thanks for murderers and rapists and criminals. We don't have to give thanks if a loved one comes down with some debilitating disease, you know? We don't have to give thanks for that disease, all right? We don't have to be thankful for terrorists like ISIS beheading people. We don't have to be thankful for that stuff. Okay? You see, the Bible does not say that we need to be thankful for evil here. Instead, we're told to give thanks in all circumstances. Again, not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance. So what's the difference? Well, here it is. No matter how bad the circumstances, God can bring about good. And we can give thanks because we know that God has a purpose bigger than our problems. And we will grow in spiritual maturity through the experience if we allow it. One of the best examples in Scripture is that of Joseph, starting in Genesis 37, going all the way through chapter 50. If you look at Joseph, you know, he's a good kid, you know. He's 17. His mom and dad have pretty much given him the world. He's spoiled, you know. And his brothers are jealous of Joseph. So to make 13 or 14 chapters of the Bible really teeny tiny, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers, and he becomes head of Potiphar's household, which is a big thing. But then he's falsely accused of trying to sexually assault Potiphar's wife. So Joseph spends a couple of years in Egyptian prison. But then he comes out as second in command over all of Egypt right under Pharaoh. Many years later, when Joseph met his brothers, he eventually told them who he was, because now he's all tanned like an Egyptian. He's got Egyptian garb on her. So they don't recognize him. You know, it's been, you know, couple of years, give or take a decade or two. But because of what? See, he was 30 when he ended his 30s. Yeah, a couple of decades. But because of what they did, and because of who Joseph is now, they're scared to death that he would have them tortured or worse, you know? Maybe being tortured is worse. But here's what Joseph told them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He says, and this is the wisdom right here. This is spiritual growth right here. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, he wasn't thankful that they threw him in a pit. You know, he wasn't being thankful for being in prison, but he's thankful that God is with him. He's thankful that God's purpose is at work. And that's giving thanks in all circumstances, not giving thanks for the circumstance. Okay. Centuries later, the Apostle Paul shares with us this truth of God, saying, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. We know that verse pretty well, Romans 8:28. You know, I'm not saying that we'll know all about it, even in the song. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Maybe, okay? So much appears bad to us, and things happen to us that we don't understand. And we may never, ever, ever, ever know why. Okay. But in those circumstances, it's those times that we often grow closer to God. But that choice is ours. God is always there. We just need to draw near to him. And so it's for that that we can at least give thanks, to know that God is there and his presence is there, that he is ultimately in control. You know, a lot of people will ask, so what's God's will for my life? Well, in looking again at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible tells us that we're to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Goes back a little bit to what we said before, you see. Since it's God's will for Christians to give thanks, then if we're not giving thanks, then we're not doing God's will. You know? So how can we do God's will and be a people that give thanks? Well, again, we talked about three basic keys this morning. We talked about, number one, that we need to recognize that everything is a gift from God. That number two, we need to recall all that God has done for us, especially Jesus Christ and the grace of God that we have in salvation. Number three, we need to resolve to give thanks in every circumstance. Put our trust and faith in God that he's going to take care of things. You know, the most unhappy person in the world is not someone who didn't get what he or she wanted. Okay? See a toddler screaming in the aisles? That's not the most unhappy person in the world. The most unhappy person is the one who got what he or she wanted, but then found out it wasn't as wonderful as they expected. And that's the person who makes the wrong choice. Now think about this. The secret of a happy life is not to get what you want, but to live with what you've got. Most of us spend our lives focusing on what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. And if we never thank God for what we do have, one of these days we'll wake up and our life is going to be over. I guess we won't wake up then. We'll be close to being over. And we'll have missed the beauty of the present. We'll have missed those moments. That's being unhappy. So is there anything that we're taking in life for granted? Think about it. Think about your health. You could list off a number of things that are probably bad, all the pills you take, all the doctors you see. You could also list off the fact that, hey, I'm alive, I can walk, I can breathe, I can see, at least some, you know. You know, you've got freedom. What about your spouse? Prayerfully, you have your spouse. If not, you had a spouse, maybe. You had good years. What about children, grandchildren, your job, the church, salvation, God? You know, it seems to me that we have got two basic responses in life. And one says, this is the day that the devil has made, and I'm going to complain and be miserable in it. The other says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad. Prayerfully, we'll all be able to rejoice and be glad on the day that the Lord has made every day. And like we talked about earlier, as Christians, we can and should rejoice in our salvation. We can and should rejoice because of our salvation. For those who aren't rejoicing, well, maybe it's because you've got no reason to rejoice. Maybe it's because you're not saved yet. So why not do that today? To be saved, and go on your way rejoicing, just like the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. To confess Christ as Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You come up out of that water, and chances are the person baptizing you won't disappear like Philip, but hey, you know, you'll come up out of that water, a new creation, and you'll walk in newness of life, rejoicing in your salvation. We'll all rejoice with you. The angels will rejoice too in heaven. Maybe there's someone that has some other need that we might be able to help out with. It might be able to help you to be a bit more thankful, to know you have a brother or sister in Christ there for you, that God is there. Whatever the need may be, if you need to come forward, I'd like to encourage you to do that now as together we stand and sing.